Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Welcome to morning worship from Cramond Kirk on Sunday the 9th of August. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the light and life of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With children and young people returning to school next week, the church open again for services, restaurants and cafes welcoming back customers, more planes in and out of Edinburgh Airport, more traffic on the road, and even football matches being played, you would be forgiven for thinking that life is slowly returning to normal. Except it isn't. And however welcome the easing of some of the lockdown restrictions are, there is nothing normal about wearing face masks or keeping social distance, or not being able to visit people in hospital or care homes, or having to book your place at church, or football stadium being empty. Many challenges remain, as the people in Aberdeen know only too well, and people are still quarantining when they come back from holiday. Parts of the country are experiencing restrictions, many businesses are still not open, and the overriding message is one of caution and concern. COVID-19 has not gone away. People are still taking ill, and in other parts of the world, a dreadful trail of suffering and death is still being experienced. So it's providential that today's gospel reading is about a storm and what it means to have faith when everything is in turmoil and nothing seems safe or normal. Our reader this morning is one of our young people, Callum Madeley.
This is reading from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen.
Thank you, Callum. If you've ever visited the National Gallery on Edinburgh's Princes Street, you might have seen William MacTaggart's painting entitled The Storm, a wild, frantic sea, a rocky coastline, fishing boats at the mercy of towering waves, and people on the shore unable to do anything to help. It's this kind of wild, frightening picture Matthew paints of a boat battered by waves, fishermen struggling with the oars, far from land, unable to make headway. And into this wild picture, Jesus appeared walking on the water. Was there a hidden reef or sandbank, as some commentators have suggested? Matthew offers no explanation. Instead, he tells us the sight of Jesus appearing through the waves frightens the disciples even more. If Jesus' word is one of calming reassurance, something prompts Peter to ask if he can come to Jesus. And putting his foot over the boat, Peter starts to walk on the water toward Jesus. Suddenly, the reality of what he's doing overwhelms, and once more aware of the raging storm, Peter cries out in panic. And reaching out his hand to catch Peter, Jesus chides him about his lack of faith and helps him back to the relative safety of the boat. Now, Matthew is no fool. Matthew is concerned to explore the true identity of Jesus, his power as the Son of God, a power that brings a reassuring calm into life's most difficult, challenging situations. But Matthew knows full well, normal people don't walk on water. And that's just the point. Because normal people don't walk a second mile, or turn the other cheek, or love their neighbour, or pray for their enemies, or consider that the poor in spirit are blessed. Normal people don't commit themselves to a life of service in the conviction that the first shall be last and the last first. That's not how normal people live. And what Matthew wants us to grasp is that the followers and disciples of Christ are not called to live as normal people, their eyes fixed on the things that can be seen, but to live with faith, to live with their eyes fixed on the things that cannot be seen. Compassion, forgiveness, generosity, sacrifice. These are some of the characteristics and hallmarks of the Christian life. And yet, as the dramatic gospel would teach us, in the face of life's storms, they can appear frail, vulnerable, fragile. One commentator put it well when she said, "It's not hard to have faith in the love and care of God when the sun's shining and the birds are singing, children are laughing and growing up strong, relationships are calm and happy, work is meaningful, politics stable and fair. Then we feel as though God is in the heavens and all is well with the world." But then, as she goes on to say, it's rarely the case that living in the world is so good, for we are never free from storms, emotionally, socially, politically, or literally. So what then of vulnerable and fragile faith in the face of this coronavirus pandemic or any of the other storms of life? Expressed theologically, being saved doesn't mean being spared. Spared hurt or pain or accident or bereavement or loss. Being saved doesn't mean we always feel safe. What it does mean is that even if our faith falters, God doesn't falter. And if we dare to hold to our relationship with God in Christ, then however wild the waves, however strong the headwind, however far we feel from shore, we'll be given courage, we'll be given comfort and hope, we'll be given strength from beyond ourselves, and we will know that we are being held, and we'll know too that it comes to us as a gift. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. By ourselves we could not know you. No human wisdom can discover you. But from the depths of your wisdom, from the wealth of your love, you come to us, revealing yourself in the frailty of a human life. Living and loving God, when set against the humility and compassion of our Lord, We confess that our lives are found wanting. We breathe the proud spirit of the world that boasts of its cleverness and power, that counts its wealth and riches and possessions, that scorns the way of forgiveness and mercy. In the silence of our hearts, we bring to mind our own failures of duty and love, the hurtful things we've said and done, our complicity in the injustices of the world. Do not reject us, we pray, but in your mercy, grant us pardon, healing, and the opportunity to amend our ways. God of grace and power, we thank you for the good world you created, its rugged mountains, its wild seas, its rolling landscapes, its gardens and flower. We thank you for all that makes life worth living, our circle of family and friends, times of holiday and relaxation. We thank you too for our life together in the church, for faith nourished by your word, for the Holy Spirit to lead us in Christ's way. God of concern, we pray for the people of Beirut in all the aftermath of the terrible explosion, hospitals and emergency services overwhelmed. Bring healing and help to all who've been injured and traumatized. Comfort those who have been bereaved. And whether in Lebanon or elsewhere in the world, help us reach out to all whose lives are blighted by hunger, poverty, or disease. God of truth, we pray for our children and young people, many of them returning to school this week or looking forward to starting university. Bless those who are called to teach. Help learning flourish among us, our children and young people growing not only in knowledge, but also in kindness. God of compassion, we pray for our own circle of family and friends, giving thanks for those whose lives are well and for whom the sun shines brightly, and asking your blessing on those whose days are clouded with worry or doubt. Illness, loneliness, or sorrow. God of this day, God of every day, grant us a faith that speaks into the silence words of hope, a faith that brings healing and renews life, a faith that makes us wonder much more and fear much less. And in all the challenges and opportunities of life, keep our hearts fixed, our anchor secure, where true joys are to be found in our Saviour Christ. And in his name we pray together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Go now in the love and in the peace of Christ our Lord. May the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you this day and evermore. Amen.